Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Hour two at hand of the Rod Peterson Show on a Friday morning, June 21st, episode number 15. We're coming to you from the bunker in lovely North Regina. If you've missed hour one, you missed a lot. John Frenzy, Gene Mikowski. They're telling me our producer today, Ryan, says shout out to Brent Steven. He wins the award for the funniest comments this morning on the Rod Peterson Show. So way to go, Brent. Thanks for participating. We ask people to chime in from where they're watching from. We have the habitual Norway, of course. Hello to our fans. We're very big in Norway and New York. Our friend Scotty Clark is checking in from Grand Prairie, Alberta this morning. Says he loves the format. Thank you, Scotty. That's a guy that's been around. Met him with the Pats, worked for the Oshawa Generals, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tri-City Americans, Kootenay Ice. Now he's up running the beautiful facility in Grand Prairie. Got Penticton this morning, Vancouver. And in moments, we're going to be going to Pittsburgh, I believe. We had Colby Armstrong, the old arm dog, longtime NHLer, Memorial Cup champion with Red Deer, Saskatoon kid. But they said they lost the connection. So as we wait for Colby, we welcome in Darren DuPont here for his first appearance of the day. How are you doing, Dupes?
I'm doing well.
Oh,
happy Friday.
Apparently, happy Friday to you. I was going to get your take on the Ryder loss last night, but we've got the arm dog now from... Let's bring him in on via video chat. The arm dog, are you in Pittsburgh?
What's up, boys?
Are you on the golf course? Where are you?
No, you know what? I'm at the hockey rink. At the hockey rink. It never ends when you're a hockey dad.
Oh, somebody's... How did practice go this morning, or was it a game?
They're still on the ice. It's just a little hockey camp here. So I know the draft is today, and the 2010 draft class here in Pittsburgh are going at it.
Okay, sounds good. Colby...
Should I turn this on the side? How's that? There we go. That's better.
You sound good to me. I don't know about you guys. Daryl Rommel and Darren DuPont with me this morning as well. Colby, how much you taking following what's going on in Vancouver out of the draft with the trade talk, the Mitch Marner talk, now the rule changes talk, and who might go in the top five of the draft? What's your takeaway so far?
Yeah, I've been following it a little bit. Obviously, working at Sportsnet, doing the prospects game, I think obviously draws you in right away, and that's something that I've really loved doing. And then work in the Memorial Cup. So kind of keeping your eye on the junior scene, at least the CHL anyways, and following some of the prospects there. But I think, you know, you look at this draft and you look at the top two with Kako and Hughes. And then after that, it's kind of a toss the guys up in the air as you're going to get some pretty good players and a lot of talk at how strong this draft class is this year. So here being in Pittsburgh and following the Penguins a little bit, they draft first overall, which was where I was drafted back in 2001. So we'll see what they're able to get. And looking by the way it's setting up, it appears that someone from that USA program is likely to be taken in that spot or anywhere in that first round. So it's a strong draft year. It's a strong draft year for sure.
Colby, how much are you enjoying that the Western League is having such a strong, you know, draft or expected to have such a strong draft after maybe a bit of a disappointment last year?
Yeah, it's great. I love it. I love it. I think it's great for the league. I think it's, I remember when I first stopped playing hockey, I was, doing a little bit of side scouting for the Saskatoon Blades and helping out there a little bit. And we went to the Sask First tournament, which was in Regina at one of your guys' great super complexes there. I forget, right off of the main rink where the Pats play. They have four rinks all in there. It was crazy to see how much it's grown up since I last was there playing and hanging around. But there was lots of talk about that being kind of a soft year, you know, for Western and Saskatchewan kids. And now to this year being so strong out of the West with, you know, top 10 picks at least anyways, with, you know, Cousins, Doc and Byram and Cripps, you have to look at, you know, how the quality of players coming out of there. And especially after we just saw the St. Louis Blues win the Stanley Cup with three Saskatchewan guys on their team.
Woo-hoo.
and filled with a lot of good Western boys. I think that goes a long way to show that you need some of those guys around to win. You know, character, style of play, all that stuff comes into play.
Colby, one of my favorite things about the NHL draft is the aftermath when they start talking about the weirdest questions they got in the draft room from one of the franchises. What's the weirdest question one of the teams asked you?
Good question. Jeez. I remember I went in Florida, I think, had when did they pick in my draft? I think they picked... trying to think here, maybe third overall my draft, and I was ranked kind of like mid to late first round, and they brought me in for an interview, which I think I met with almost every team, but they were like, you know, we picked third overall, so like, are we wasting our time talking to you? And I was kind of like, no, just pick me third overall, no big deal.
That's awesome. Actually, Colby, our producer Clark is in Vancouver. He's so excited about round one tonight, and he says, can Colby talk about his draft experience and any stories he might have from that? Because I've been to so many and there's some great stories. What do you remember from that day? What happened, Ryan? His phone connected to the Bluetooth in his car, so he can't even hear us.
No, he can hear us.
Oh, now he's fixing it.
Yeah.
Here's Colby from Pittsburgh. Hey, Ryan. Yeah, you let me know. I just remember, I don't mind saying the name now. I think that the time has passed. Enough time has passed. Statute of limitations was Brett Lysak. You guys, you might not remember. You would, Darren.
Yep.
The darling of the dome. Was supposed to go in the first round. I believe the draft was in Boston, and I was with him in the stands at TD Garden, and he ended up going to Carolina in the second round, and he was so mad that when he came down to the draft floor, they gave him his jersey, Carolina, he wouldn't even put it on. He was so mad that he didn't go in the first round. There's one for you, Lyser, probably watching on Facebook, but ended up playing some games with the Carolina Hurricanes, but just funny things like that. You mean it's supposed to be the best day of your life.
Right.
And he was mad.
But we put so many expectations, and there's so many rankings, and there's, you know, used to be that you were a draft prospect, and, you know, if I get picked, I get picked. You know, I'm just a prospect. Maybe I'm a first-round prospect. Now we've got it down to, like, he's supposed to go sixth or seventh, and we know that, oh, if you drop from second to third or third to fifth, you're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars each one you slip. And so you're disappointed getting drafted fifth overall because you thought you were going to go third or you're outside of the top 10. So, yeah, same kind of deal. Bigger scale, though, when it's, yeah, you're dropping into the second round.
And there's so many guys that prove that it doesn't really matter, right? We had the perfect example in Theo Fleury. A little while ago, Stanley Cup champion, gold medalist. Where did he go?
Mark Giordano winning the Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah. By the way, if you missed the Theron Fleury interview, has it hit the internet yet? Has it gone viral yet? Fleury just going after the prime minister. Wow. Which, if you follow him on Twitter, is not rare for him. He does it all the time. But, oh, my gosh, did he go after Trudeau, Theron Fleury. And so I'm glad you brought up Fleury. Yes, I was a Pats fan, and I was an Oilers fan in the 80s. So clearly I hated Theron Fleury, but there was this little bit of me that loved him because he wasn't supposed to be as successful as he was. And he had to fight for every single thing he ever got in his life. He fought for it, and he got it. And life's easy for him now. Wasn't always that way.
To this day, if Rich Sutter steps foot in the Medicine Hat Arena, or whatever they've replaced it with, people still kind of give him the side eye.
Of
right?
course, because he's not our guy.
You're exactly. With the Lethbridge Broncos, he was public enemy number one. And to this day, he still says, every once in a while, some of the older fans give him that little look.
And he loves
it. I remember, and he does love it. Rich is a great human.
We got Colby Armstrong back. Thanks again, Colby. So your draft day, what do you remember of it getting your name called? Where were you? How did it go?
Hey, boys, I apologize. I'm kind of on the cusp of being a millennial here, so I don't know how to run this stuff.
He's an elder millennial.
Yeah, you know what? The draft, as I was saying before I got broke up, just the first time I'd been kind of traveling with my family on an airplane, believe it or not, and first time I'd really ever seen actually going down to Florida. So all that was kind of really, really cool. And then the draft of just kind of being this area, some of the GMs, TV. I mean, from Saskatchewan and going to, you know, your first NHL game when you're 16, 17 years old to go watch the Flames play. And then eventually getting to an Oilers game as well later that year. You know, not being around it that much, pretty much just being around the Saskatoon Blades, which was like the NHL. To be rubbing shoulders and seeing Wayne Gretzky and some of these guys in and amongst the stadium with you, with my family, was just an unbelievable experience. To getting drafted in the first round, it's always, you know, I'm from Saskatoon. I mean, I didn't even, and I, this isn't that long ago, but it just seems so far away. And I know technology has come a long ways and the kids are prepared, but for me, it just seemed, it was just so far away that it wasn't even real. It could have been. And for that day to happen and found that situation and all the interviews and getting introduced to like the Pittsburgh media and fan base is incredible. And I think now, you know, looking at it now, it's even more, you know, even more to the forefront with how much people have access to these athletes. But, you know, my experience was unbelievable. And in the guy that you play against in the Western Hockey League and meeting and hanging out guys that you read about in the hockey news at this event, you know, it's just a really, really cool, incredible experience.
Colby, we'll let you go. Get back into your kids' hockey practice, but enjoy the draft if you're into it, and have a great weekend down there in Pittsburgh.
All right, man. Got some Western Hockey League kids going first round.
Yeah,
it's a big look forward to watching it tonight.
Good. Yeah, we'll all be watching it close. Colby Armstrong from Pittsburgh joining us on video chat. A lot of things been going on, Darren DuPont, this morning in the program. I have not had a chance to check our poll results. What are people saying about the Riders' loss in Ottawa last night?
Let's dial into the
poll. Is it on Twitter?
And see where we're at.
I got it here. 70 from Ryan Barocco, our producer this morning in-house. He says 70.3% are saying need to see more. Does that mean need to see more before they make an opinion? Or we need to say more? We need to see more. A better performance. Is that what you take out of that?
It's such a small sample size to be able to sit on your couch and say, well, we're going to the Grey Cup as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan is way too early to see. So I think that's probably a good indication.
The folks at rodpeterson.com, nobody has said that they're overjoyed yet. 0%. Well,
it's early, but, is it not?
Well, 64% said they'll be fine and 36% said need to see more. That's at rodpeterson.com. For me, I just expected more people to be overjoyed because I think the expectations after Zach went down were so low. So I think after what we saw and the ability of Cody Fajardo to play so well, I think we'd be overjoyed with where we're at because we didn't expect anything like that to be able to play. Now I'm thinking, you know, we can win some games with this offense because the defense is going to come back. I'm overjoyed. Should be, right? We're in a way better spot now than we were a week ago, aren't we?
Am I wrong? A spot.
Yeah. We're in a much better spot.
Could have been nowhere.
Than we were. It's not about the, you know, the wins matter for sure, but I'm much, much, much more confident about this group today than I was yesterday at this time.
Nashville writing in on Facebook says special teams lost the game. Field position was a big advantage for Ottawa. John Ryan punted the ball good, but no coverage. The offense actually put up 41 points. So, you know, there's a lot to not be happy about after the loss, too. We were all blown away by the offensive performance of Cody Fajardo, putting balls on people. Naaman Roosevelt had a great game. Shaq Evans had a great game. William Powell, he was sub 50 yards rushing, I think, but he was still serviceable in the game. Offense didn't lose him that. And I think that's why we love the game so much. You can't predict what's going to happen. on any given night. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a lot of fun. So the defense struggled, and I think, gentlemen, that that side of the ball, there's enough talent there that it's going to come together.
Well, it's the first time in seven games that a Rough Rider quarterback threw a touchdown.
Right.
That in itself is something for you to be overjoyed about.
Sure.
Right? You want to see offensive production. Now you go into the room, you take a look at the film, you see what you can clean up. 11 points off of turnovers isn't great. What could we have done differently? They break that down. But let's not discredit the performance of Dominic Davis. Dominic Davis was fantastic last
Yep.
night.
Yeah, he was really good. Really, really good.
Any other quarterback on that roster,
yeah.
Rough Riders win 41-20-something.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Right?
For Cody Fajardo, I think he did a lot of things well early, got the ball into his playmaker's hands, and spread the ball around, which was key. He got it to Swerve. He got it to Thigpen. He got it to William Powell. He got it to Shaq. He moved the ball around, which I thought was really, really good.
But he didn't panic.
And he got some confidence. Yeah, he didn't panic. He got confidence going, and I thought that was so key. And I know I talked about it leading up that he had to start the game, and I was very emphatic that he needed to be the guy. I did not think he was going to do this. I'll take credit for saying he should have started. And sure, he proved me right. I did not think this was going to happen at all. I expected to see Isaac Harker at some point in the game. It didn't happen. Didn't need him. That's great. But yeah, it comes down to the defense. You just thought they were going to be able to put up a better effort. I said yesterday, I mean, nobody expected a shootout. I thought it would be a low-scoring game. The defense would be able to hold the Riders in long enough for Cody Fajardo to make some plays and have a chance to win the football game. They didn't really make many plays at all. It was just not a good enough effort from that side of the football when you expect them to lead the way.
And one guy that jumped off the page at me and to, I believe, Justin on Facebook said it as well, Cameron Judge. Starting to figure out the Canadian game. He's in great shape. He's jumping off very quickly.
Yeah. He looked good, too. Sorry, I was just settling in to listen to you go on a soliloquy here. But there was... You know, Justin writing in and saying, wasn't it 2017 the Riders started 0-2 and went to the Eastern Conference Final? Yeah, on the way to 10 wins.
We've been started 0-2 for the last 5 years. This team has started 0-2. And we've been trajecting upwards, you know, under Chris Jones. Now it's handed off, obviously. But the 0-2 doesn't bother me, doesn't scare me. A little bit that it was 0-2 out East, and there's two Eastern games gone when the East has traditionally been weaker than the West. But I'm not worried about that. I'm very comfortable with what I seen last night.
Well, there's a wrinkle to throw at you. I mean, this game, a lot of it is an X's and O's thing. A lot of it's talent. But the vast majority of it is intimidation and the mental side of the game. And I had a former Rough Rider text me either last night or this morning. It's been a bit of a blur the last 24 to 48 hours, as you can understand. Here's our listeners this morning. Toss that around in your noodle for a minute. Jones, that intimidation factor, even within his own locker room or on his own sidelines. Guys aren't afraid for their jobs like they were when Chris Jones was here. Now, this guy isn't with the Riders anymore, so how could any of us say what's actually going on in that locker room? But that's food for thought.
When you're allowed to make mistakes like Cody Fajardo was able to do at the last half of the first game and the first little bit to settle in and to build some confidence, it's a great thing. How many times did you and I sit at practice and watch... practice end, players leave, a few people come on to try out for the team. That's mm-hmm. intimidating, right? When you already know somebody is coming after your job, that's the reality of professional sports. But when you see it in front of your face day in and day out, that's something.
Here's what I can say. When you're looking at the defensive side of the football, you can hide mistakes a little bit better than you can on offense because you can err, and I've had coaches, you know, back in the day, and I've talked to other coaches and heard them say their players, if you're going to make an error, err on the side of aggression, right? You can do that. If I'm out of position, well, go hit somebody and make something happen at least, right? On offense, it's such a precision, fine-tuned game. If you don't throw that ball right, you're off the field. You're two and out, you're done, right? And I think that intimidation factor, we really miss that on the defensive side of the football. Clearly, Chris Jones had some sort of secret, or he's got value. He's sitting back in Cleveland being like, yeah, I'm worth all that money. Look where the defense has gone since I left, right? I mean, the results are right there.
It's two games.
They were pretty good in week one defensively. You know, they were really good. Number one defense, as you had on your preview at rodpeterson.com, coming out of week one. But on offense, I think where that intimidation is gone, takes the pressure off Cody Fajardo, lets him relax and make plays. That's a good thing. I think Craig Dickinson has been infectious with the offense, but that intimidation is needed on the defensive side.
You missed the warm-up today, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
So I want your take on Mac Henry putting his shoulder into Dominic Davis, the Ottawa quarterback.
Wait.
A couple of yards out of bounds, ends up getting the 15-yard flag. Lynch thinks it's an accident and that Mac Henry's the victim in all of this. Shocking. I watched it, and initially I thought the same thing as John. But then as they showed more replays, A, Mac could have dodged out of the way. B, he didn't have to put his shoulder forward to the Ottawa quarterback. And then I started to think, are we going to get an email on Thursday from the CFL saying that he's subsequently been fined for that? No, because he got flagged at the time. 15 yards.
Yeah.
But your take on the whole situation.
Yeah. First, I did the same thing. When it happened, I'm like, what? He didn't even touch him. He stood there. It was so bang, bang, right? And then you watch the replay, and yeah, just kind of the little thug shoulder thing, right? Like, he did it. And
like he did in the hallway of high school.
And yeah, and he's like, what? Exactly. Guy comes up, and you give him a little shot with the, and he doesn't even know what's coming. He didn't go out of his way, really, to do it. Dominic Davis could have moved, maybe, but they handled it. 15 yards. It was a penalty that was costly to the Riders, and that's what supplemental discipline is about. If it's supplemental discipline,
if they missed it,
if you discipline it correctly during the game, you don't need supplemental discipline. Or if it's so egregious that you need discipline on top of what can be handed out within a game, then it's needed. I think back to the Simone Lawrence said, if he was the penalty and kicked out of the game, a one-game suspension would be appropriate because he would have been kicked out of that game. But it wasn't handled, so now you need to have that supplemental discipline.
When we return, a couple more topics. Ambrosi versus the Players Association. We're not done with that yet. Canada's game of the week. BC at Edmonton tonight. We need to tee that up. Before we go off the air today, Tampa Bay Rays going to play in Montreal. Doesn't sound like it. I did a little investigating on that. We'll talk about it. I would love to see it. Doesn't sound like it's going to happen. And more on the Rider game last night. It's a Friday morning. We're coming to you from the bunker. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Friday morning sports update. New Jersey Devils general manager Ray Shiro hasn't revealed whether he'll select one of the two top projected prospects with the first pick in tonight's NHL draft. He's expected to choose either American Jack Hughes or Finland's Kaapo Kakko. The New York Rangers have the second pick. Week two of the CFL season continues tonight with a game in Edmonton. We're calling it Canada's Game of the Week. The Eskimos will take on the BC Lions. Ottawa outscored the Rough Riders 44-41 last night. And the New York Mets and Chicago Cubs will kick off today's full Major League Baseball slate with a matinee. Toronto begins a weekend series in Boston tonight. Chris Sale will be on the mound for the Red Sox while the Blue Jays counter with Trent Thornton. A lot of comments coming in on that Blue Jays to Montreal thing. Scotty Clark, I mentioned watching in Grand Prairie, former Blue Jays staffer, says, would love to see a team back in Montreal, but to me this looks like a leverage attempt to push politicians toward a new ballpark in the Tampa St. Pete area. And I read this morning, because again, I was a little off the grid yesterday. I heard you guys talking about the game.
Yep.
So I looked it up this morning, and the mayor of St. Petersburg is saying the Rays aren't going anywhere till at least 2028. We have a lease deal with them, and they can't play their home games anywhere but here. He's like, this whole talk is silly.
Uh-oh.
So how did this, is it the Canadian media that just grabbed this and just went with it, or?
It actually originated out of ESPN, and the reporter that's behind it is a very, very experienced guy. I think that it is a very real possibility because it's been done before. The Montreal Expos did it before they left. They played some of their games, what was it, in Cuba or something like that.
But like for a weekend?
No, they played like 22 games
there. Was it that many?
They played like 22 games down there. So it has. There is precedent. It's been done before. Nobody's showing up to their ballpark. Do they care that they have a team? They have 14,000 people on average.
The mayor cares. That's it. The people of Tampa or St. Pete clearly don't.
They'll still pay their rent down there. They'll pay their lease, and they'll pay to be in Montreal, too, if they need to be. But, you know, it's funny. You say the Canadian media, too. I think once there's just even a spark of the Expos coming back, we take it and run with it, too. So we are to blame a little bit. But if there's any talk about it, it won't just come out of nowhere, right?
No.
If somebody's talking about it, there has to be some sense of it being real. Where there's smoke, there's fire, right? So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, one of my main regrets in life was not going to an Expos game. When did they leave? 04? Is that about 5 years of going there when the Riders went to Montreal and I couldn't get anybody to go with me? Carm had played in Montreal with the Alouettes back in the day. He'd seen enough Expos. He didn't care to go. Nobody wanted to go. And I wasn't going to go by myself. That was back in Randy Johnson era with the Montreal Expos at the Big O. Nobody was going then, but I never went. And I regret it. So if they end up coming back to play, it's not the Expos, of course, it's the Rays, but I would probably go. Regarding the hit, McKenna Henry on Dominic Davis last night, the 15-yard flag, which really did hurt the Riders at the time. Somebody writing in that said, yes, it's cheap and dirty. Cole writing in, he says he should have been ejected for that hit on Davis. Completely unnecessary and a potential dangerous play. That's a little too much. He's not getting a DQ for that. He put his shoulder into somebody. Talk to him. Won't happen again. So, gentlemen, we're going live now to Vancouver, British Columbia, where the voice of the Saskatoon Blades joins us. He's got his tie on already. Les Lazarek in advance of the NHL draft. How you doing, Lester?
I'm a sharp-dressed cookie on a Friday in downtown Vancouver. It's wonderful. It's sunny here, and it's going to be a sunny day for a lot of prospects in the National Hockey League draft tonight, obviously.
How many drafts have you been to, Les?
This will be my fifth. I got to go in 85 to the Wendell Clark draft. 89 in Minneapolis, 90 here in Vancouver, and then 2006 in Toronto. And the 2006 one I went because the year before, when we should have gone to an NHL draft and covered it for the radio station, because when Devin Setoguchi was picked 8th overall and we didn't go. It's been on our books to cover these things every year, but we didn't go. And so they said, well, heck with it. If you're not going to be going for anything good, why bother? Well, this year we had to kind of do a little bit of convincing, and here I am. 2 weeks ago, I finally got approved by the radio company to come, and then it was a scramble to get accreditation, flights, hotels. I mean, my beautiful room here that I'm in, I didn't go to the media workroom this morning because the Wi-Fi internet there was a little sketchy yesterday, so I figured, well, it's better in the hotel room, so I'll stay here. This is my $430 hotel room. Trust me, Rod, you know what we travel like in the Western Hockey League. Those rooms are better than this one.
Yeah, but they're far cheaper. Les, What, obviously we'll get to Kirby Doc, but what's the scuttlebutt? What's the buzz? What are you hearing out of there in Vancouver NHL wise? Oh, just as he brags about the great Wi-Fi in his hotel room, he's gone.
Well, it is the Wi-Fi, absolutely.
That's what it is. He's going to probably re-log in, and I appreciate that. But that's another thing that I was reading this morning was these NHL GMs meeting in Vancouver. Did you see the rule change to replay now in the National Hockey? Unlimited reviews. Unlimited.
Trying to speed up every other sport, and apparently we're trying to slow down the National Hockey.
What is wrong with these leagues? Which, by the way, when they do challenge, unlimited challenge, which will lead to unlimited reviews, if they're wrong on their first or any of them, they'll get a two-minute minor. So there is a bit of a deterrent there for doing it. Mm-hmm. But still, who sees this going the right way? Who sees this becoming chaos? Because I certainly do. Unlimited challenges.
It's really hard to put rules in, and because where do you draw the line in the sand? The spirit of the rule and the intention of the rule is to create an opportunity to correct big mistakes. I wasn't looking back there. Okay, we can fix it. You know, Matt Duchene is 6 feet offside and scored a key goal. We can fix that. Great. But my fingernail is over the blue line. When we're nitpicking all that stuff, that's where it loses people. And I think that's not, obviously not the spirit of the rule or spirit of the game. But how do you make a replay available and then not call it if he's actually offside, even if it is by a foot? You know, you can't say anything, well, within a foot's okay, because then what's a foot? Now you're fingernailing that. And
you're back to judgment calls from a human.
Yeah, it's really tough, you know, and I like that. The rule book is not meant to be called as the rule book states. It's meant to be a set of guidelines to apply to the referee's feel of the game.
That a human being interprets.
Exactly. We're out there to keep the game fair and avoid cheating.
Yeah,
not to call the rule book the way it's supposed to be called. It's so that I don't slash you in the face when nobody's looking, take your lunch money and go throw the puck in the net. It's so we're not cheating. So the game's fair.
I feel like he might actually do that the way he looked at me just now. Did you see that?
Yeah.
There's some intent.
This bothers me.
There's some intent there.
It bothers me too. Right. And Thomas has written in and says if they're wrong on their second challenge, it'll be a double minor. I think coaches will be hesitant on those close calls. The quotes that I saw were from Gary Bettman, who said, and there was another guy from their office saying, it's just for egregious calls. How do you determine what's egregious or not? You know, that hairline, that, what do you say, your fingernail offsides, egregious to the coach who got scored upon.
Of course
right?
it is.
So how do you decide what's egregious or not? I don't like, I've said this many times, Gary Bettman standing up and talking about the minutia of rules because he never understood it in the first place. Never understood it in the first place. Gary shouldn't be the guy addressing this. But what this has been designed to address is what happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They said the hand pass on the Carlson goal, the Tyler Bozak missed trip, and the major penalty in the San Jose-Vegas series. All of those would have been called back under this system.
Yeah.
So it's here's them chasing their tail.
All of sports is based upon what if. What if Marty McSorley didn't have an illegal curve back in the day? Are the LA Kings, you know, Stanley Cup champions?
Yeah. Or,
there's so many what ifs in these situations that it's just, it's too much. You just play the game. The referees, they strive to get to the National Hockey League, the Major League Baseball circles of the world, just like athletes do.
And I struggle with this because I have the opinion that we're talking about the spirit of the game and whatnot, and that you need to have that feel applied to the game. But yet I don't offer a solution on, okay, well, how would you interpret replay or how would you install it? And I think maybe when it comes to the offsides, Gary Bettman even made a statement that he said, there's even been talk of eliminating offsides altogether.
I saw that. You saw that too?
Yeah. Oh my God. And I mean, but he's just being dramatic. He's like, that's even been brought up. So don't worry. We're talking about everything.
He shouldn't be talking about that.
Probably not. I think then, I don't mind if goals are reviewed. That's fine. But I mean, that's going to be tough too because it takes away the momentum of the game. Hockey's different than football. Football is, in a way, a slower game. You score a touchdown, you celebrate. They're already reviewing it, right? You go back, you're still celebrating. Then the special teams walks out, gets ready for the extra. Like, there's lots of time in between. Hockey, you got everybody fired up. The music's going, you're doing the line bump, and now we got to shut that down because we're doing a review. It'll kill it. But for the offside, I think unless it directly affects or leads to the goal, I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't be that interested in challenging it or allowing that challenge. For example, you have the offside, then play continues for 2.5 minutes and then in the zone, and then the goal happens, they would call it back on the review. I think unless it directly leads to it, the pass is so egregiously offside and it leads to the goal, well, it has to directly affect it.
Just like football, as soon as the puck's down, your challenge is killed.
One of the things that I love about this program, this Rod Peterson Show format on Facebook Live, is how one topic can just naturally roll into another, or they all intersect. For instance, Nashville writing in and says, what do you guys think of the offensive pass interference call against Katie Cannon last night? So one of the wonderful things of the tragedy that's happened in our family is bringing all our family together. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this game last night with my brothers. And there were enough video reviews in the game last night that on that particular play with Katie Cannon, I thought initially that there was a flag on defensive pass interference. And then the referee, it was Valesi, was it not Tom Valesi, says, we're reviewing offensive pass interference. And of course, so our good friend Dave Patrician, the sports doctor, uses the term armchair officiating or living room officiating. Well, that was us last night. We're in the living room, and we're looking at the replay of the hand fighting, or actually almost an arm lock, of Katie Cannon and the Ottawa DB. And we're all going around. Was it? Was it not? Was it? Doesn't matter what we think. In the end, it's a flip of the coin in the CFL Command Center anyways. How could you tell whether that was going to be offensive pass interference or not?
No, and I think when it went to review, it was, okay, well, was it blatantly not? He got tangled up. I think the thought process was that it was the Red Blacks defensive back that probably had a better chance to get to the football because he was closer to the football. But, as they mentioned on the television broadcast, it was incidental contact and probably best just to not call anything in that situation. But was it not a second down play anyway? And the Riders are down. At least it keeps the offense on the field for another second down crack. Yeah, it's 10 yards further back, but otherwise they're kicking the ball away anyway. It wasn't offensive pass interference. It wasn't defensive pass. It should have been a wash, I think.
Georgia writes in, thank you, George. Foxcroft was the ref. He did a terrible job last night, says George. Dave Foxcroft, so thank you.
Didn't he look scared?
I do like
this.
They
always look scared.
He was like this when he's announcing the calls, and he didn't blink. Every time.
Yeah, but there's a reason for that. I want to tell you something. One CFL referee told me, who will remain nameless, how stressful it is to officiate in the CFL right now. And I assume the NFL is no different. He said, I have 7 voices in my head. Other officials on the field with their headset mics, plus the guy back in Toronto yelling at him. Why do you think they don't know who to listen to? That's why they all look like that.
Right?
So I don't think it's any fun for the refs anymore either. And we're now at a point, and I'm interested to see where this goes, because I've said it for 3 to 4 years, we should abolish video replay entirely in all sports. We can have it on the television broadcast. That's not going anywhere anytime soon. But as far as the field of play, forget it. Let the guys officiate it themselves on the field with no review. Daryl's looking at me like I'm crazy. Look, you're already blowing games as it is.
That's not why I'm looking at you crazy. If video review doesn't always get it right anyway, because in 2004, the Calgary Flames won the Stanley Cup in Game 6 when Martin Gelinas scored that goal. You know it was in. You know
it was in.
There you go.
But it was taken. So what's your point? What are you saying?
I'm saying video review doesn't always get it right. Neither do humans. But there's somewhere in the middle, there's a compromise between too much video review and too little letting the guy on the field who's been trusted with the job make the decision.
I know, but the thing that bothers me is the people that are in charge of making these decisions. Look at the Zach Caleros, Simone Lawrence situation here right now. I mean, the college, NCAA, has the targeting rule. Under that rule right there that they've had for a long time, Simone Lawrence is gone. Yeah. It's very simple. Why can't the CFL figure this out? College football's had it for a very long time.
It works.
And it works great because it's a deterrent. That's the main. They're not doing it in college football because of that, because they know they're going to be kicked out of the game. Simone Lawrence went on to dangerously hit other guys that very same game. So, anyways, we saw the Stanley Cup playoffs. How many games were determined on blown calls? Not to mention the NFC Championship game last year with the Saints and the Rams. You got this going to review, and you blow it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well just get rid of it altogether.
Yeah, you look at Jelena's goal, right? I mean, that review might have helped that process, but review on Brett Hull's goal would have taken that goal away, and that would have been a bad thing because, again, that's not the spirit of the rule is not toe in the crease. That's a good goal, right? And I don't know what you do.
So you're getting people fired up. How not happy until Rider fans are happy.
I know.
From Gary.
How do you find a way to correct the big, big, big mistake? The 6 feet offside, the, you know, they hit way late when nobody's looking. How do you find a way to keep that part of the game in review, but eliminate the challenges on little penalties and things that are human error?
Well, I think that's a process that's continually evolving.
Yeah.
And they're having those discussions day in and day out. I don't think that the guys in the league office sit around and say, well, I think everything's good.
I do think they say that.
If it takes 2 to 3 years to get this ironed out in a way that can last for the next 10, 15, 20, worth it. It's going to be a tough 3 years to get there. But I just hope that we're making strides and we can get there.
Things popping up in my mind here. We got a few minutes before we break and come back for overtime. On your question, do they sit around and what do they say? I was on Winnipeg radio this morning with Troy Westwood and Jim Toth, and they were talking about Ambrosi versus the CFLPA. We covered this earlier with Mikowski and Lynch an hour ago. But I'm wondering who is advising Randy Ambrosi. Because for him to come out on Wednesday after the Players Association appealed the suspension and said he's deeply disappointed in the Players Association for not going with the league's decision, wasting time and money on this, really trying to make the Players Association look bad. That was Wednesday. And then Thursday, the Players Association comes out and just blasts Ambrosi and says, you say one thing and you do another. They really went after the commissioner on this. Mm-hmm. And then the commissioner meets with the media in Ottawa and says, you know what? I woke up this morning and decided let's all work together and not fight. It's too late for that. I just want you guys take on that. This has become an all-out war that I hope they can get swept under the rug soon. But I'm thinking, who told Randy that you need to make this statement? Because I'll guarantee you he did not come up with that idea on his own. When you say, what do they say to each other? I think, oh, you need to issue a statement. This is what you need to say. I'm not saying Randy's not his own guy, but it sounds to me like he regretted doing that. That's what I'm saying.
It's all posturing. It's all, you know.
Yeah, but it caused a major chaos.
Again, it's taking the rule book and applying every rule. Like, just because it's in there, we have to apply it.
Was it that or was it passion? Was he frustrated? Did he open? Did
I
he
hope
open
so.
Up, did he open up his mouth and what was in his heart came out and then he received instant backlash? It's happened to all of us, right?
I hope so. That's what you want, right? Like,
what I liked about it was that he corrected himself. He came out and he said, listen, I thought about it. How many times have we been in an argument in a bar or in a restaurant or something? You know, you cool off and you go, you know what? What I said to Darren last night didn't make sense.
Yeah.
I know, but in pro sports, people very rarely will listen to your apology.
True.
Once the words are out, they're out, right?
Yeah.
And the thing with Randy, the Randy that I know and I've gotten to know him pretty well, the statement that came from him Wednesday night wasn't Randy. So either he's frustrated and it did come from him or somebody advised him. And I tend to believe that somebody advised him and it caused far more problems, I think, than they thought that it would. Now, some good comments here from Del Reimer. Nice to see you, Del. Thanks for coming out to the service yesterday. He says, I agree with you, Rod, regarding video replay. As an old ref, it's time to let the refs do their job. Why do we need refs now anyways? The biggest joke is goal judges in hockey. You see those guys in the fancy suits, particularly the NHL. What are you sitting there for? To flip the light on? Because we don't need to see whether you saw it cross the goal line or not. We got 18 million cameras up here. From Casey, the show is almost over already? Wow. I think you need to extend this show to 3 hours. Stop it. I kind of like my 2-hour workday right now. Canada's game of the week tonight. BC Lions at the Edmonton Eskimos. I've been getting asked about that. Eskimos, last I saw, favored by 3.5 points. I think BC is going to go in there and win. I still think the BC Lions are the hottest ticket in the CFL right now. There's something exciting about them. Can't wait for the game. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff on TSN. What's you guys take on Canada's game of the week, as determined by our viewers?
Who wouldn't be excited to see Mike Riley go back into that environment?
Should he get booed? He's expecting to get booed.
See, and he addressed that himself, and he said, there are probably going to be a couple that are going to be a little bit upset, but he figures there's not going to be as many because they went out and got Trevor Harris. They got a suitable replacement for him. Is he as good as Mike Riley, in my opinion? Absolutely not. I think that Edmonton owes him a debt of gratitude. He is a great, great football player. He did the best job he could for them in the time that he was there, and he moved on. He made a conscious family decision to be closer to home, which at any point in any of our careers we have done, right? I think that he should be heralded for the job that he's done.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to boo him. I think they're going to celebrate him because you got to respect him. He came in there. He played really well for you.
Won them a Grey Cup.
Won them a Grey Cup.
Took hit
and then went
hit
and went home. He went home, right? You can't fault him for that. But for me, all the pressure in the world tonight is on Trevor Harris. All of it. All of it. Because one, he played really well last week. And one thing we've known from Trevor Harris is sometimes week to week, he can't sustain it. That's been a little bit of a problem and into the playoffs. And two, if he's not playing well, the fans are going to start missing Mike Riley in a hurry. So there's a, and he's right there on the other sideline. All the pressure is on Trevor Harris tonight.
Well, it looked last Friday night like a beautiful night in the Northern Alberta, the capital of Alberta, in Northern Alberta, Edmonton. And it wasn't a great crowd. I think they announced 25,000 for the Alouettes and the Eskimos. And my wife was asking me about, what do you think of the crowd? And I said, well, Montreal's not a great draw in Western Canada. It's just not. Tonight, that'll be a big crowd. My guess, 35,000 or more at Commonwealth Stadium for Mike Riley's return. By the way, just before we break and come back for the overtime segment, we got a viewer from Winnipeg this morning. She says, hi, Rod. Heard you on TSN 1290 in Winnipeg and had to tune into the new show. Well, thank you, Jessica. And I hope you're enjoying the CFL talk here for CFL fans across the country and hockey fans, too, particularly the junior fans that don't get a lot of coverage in the summertime. It was nice of Troy Westwood and Jim Toth to bring me on this morning and allow me the opportunity to talk about this show and the new platform. And I know for a fact, when I went on the rant on the Bombers on Monday, it didn't offend my friends with the Bombers. They, of all people, Paul LaPolice and Richie Hall, know me. They got a kick out of it. This is fun stuff. We're not splitting atoms here. It's not life or death. It's fun. But Daryl, this is your first foray into the Rod Peterson Show. What are you thinking of the whole thing?
There's a lot of green, and I love the shout-outs to Norway.
Right.
We can't forget about our fans, our friends.
In Norway.
Almost bedtime.
It's almost bedtime in Norway. They've been writing in on the Facebook wall.
They're enjoying their crumb cake and lutefisk over there.
Is that a Norwegian thing?
Lutefisk is the most disgusting Norwegian dish on the planet. I apologize if you're watching out there and you're
off. Can't be
Norway.
Worse than haggis.
Who is going to bring some Norwegian food onto the set one day?
101A.
Connect with our people.
Alan writes in and says, last night's game was Canada's game of the week. No, Alan, you're new at this, obviously. We take a poll on the Tuesday of every week and say, what is Canada's game of the week? BC at Edmonton was a resounding winner of the Canada's game of the week. Robert Anderson, this guy's a real fly in the ointment here. He says, why was Daron Carter really released, Rod? Get with it, Robert. That was so last year. That was so 2018. Watch Daron tonight with the BC Lions. We're not getting into that. Time to move forward. Overtime segment coming up. Should we bring in Frenzy for one last?
Sure.
All right. John Frenzy off the sponsor's couch. We'll be here for the overtime segment next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth, it's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more, and we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show?
It's the beer.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something.
Quiet.
Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Friday morning sports update as we head into overtime. The Edmonton Oilers will be the first Canadian team to pick tonight at the NHL draft in Vancouver. The Oilers have the 8th overall pick. The host Vancouver Canucks follow 2 picks later. The New Jersey Devils have the 1st overall selection. Haven't tipped their hand as to whom they'll select. Brooke Henderson needs a solid day to make the cut at the KPMG Championship today. The Canadian golf star shot a 4 over 76 in the first round of the LPGA Tour Major yesterday. Henderson is coming off her second win of the season last week in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I got to get this in. Our viewer, one of the viewers from Norway, Trent, says school is actually still going on in some places at 8 at night in Norway.
Very educated people.
Says it's almost 8 p.m. here, and I did try lutefisk once. Not a favorite for me. My wife understands. In 5 words or less, what's lutefisk?
It's a stinky fish.
Okay, perfect.
Stinky fish.
Stinky.
Yeah.
Lynch, put the mic in front of you. Do you know how to use a microphone, John?
Who would eat that?
Okay. DuPont, the fans are clamoring for you, so you can jump on set. Alan Sheromata says, our poll results are wrong. The voters were wrong. The Canada's game of the week was last night, Saskatchewan-Ottawa. Not tonight, BC-Edmonton. Alan, you sound like Hillary Clinton saying the poll was wrong. No, the poll was right. Trust me, it was. Lynch, the Riders are 0-2. You said when you came on set here, so much to talk about. So what do you got to talk about here in overtime?
Well, 0-2. Off to a bad start. They've got to get going. The next 5 games, 4 at home, the 1st of July to the 1st of August. It's critical for this year that we win 4 of those games. We win all the home games. I really believe that for sure, because otherwise we're going to be in trouble for what I talked about a half an hour ago. The final 3 of the final 4 games are consecutive ways, 3 consecutive away games at the end of the year. Calgary, Edmonton, and BC. Tough games, guys. The final game.
Every game's tough, Lynch. News
final
flash.
Game back in Regina is Edmonton against the Eskimos. But I've never seen in the CFL, have you? 3 games in the road and one time for one team.
Well, there's a lot going on at that stadium. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've seen it in the NFL.
Well, John, there's a little thing called the playoffs. A couple of times the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have had to play 3 consecutive games on the road. It happens in playoff time, and they've come out on top and won championships.
And I agree with what Rod said earlier. Rod said, listen, teams don't think about that.
You don't think they do?
No, I don't. It's business.
Well, I'm glad you think that. You, there's a chance of getting injuries. Something happened when you're out of town. You know that. Things happen.
I need that on a quote board. That's going to be my new Twitter bio.
Anything specific, John?
No, I don't like it. I'm saying to you guys, and the point I'm trying to make is, it's time they got to do something. They've got to win 4 of the next 5 games to be serious contenders in the West this year.
It's a unique feeling.
And you have to agree with me.
Yeah, I do. And it's a unique feeling in town when the Riders start out of town for the first couple of weeks. When they finally get here, football season will feel like it's finally here. And this is a great opportunity with Corey Chamberlain coming back to town to get a big win in front of a home crowd, and I hope it's packed.
And won't Corey Chamberlain be a sweetheart?
Yes, hang on. But news flash, the season started last week. So they're 0-2. So maybe not everybody's into it. But the fact of the matter is they're in a hole, and they can't let that hole get to be too big. And gentlemen, what do you think? And I hope I get you back, Bandit, next week in advance of that game. Argo's here. But what do you think Chamberlain's return will be like? Will it be something to celebrate?
Well, he's been back here in a couple of a couple of chances, a couple of times, right, with other organizations as an assistant coach. Do you think people still care?
I don't know if I care. I can't speak for everybody.
You know what I mean? He won a great cup. He should be commended for the work that he did in his time here. You think he'll get booed?
He'll get booed.
Like Wally Buono booed?
He won't get booed.
I don't think he gets
booed.
Well,
I hope not. But he left here under horrible circumstances, guys. I think it's going to be a really great game. It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
Well, we all know that.
And it's going to be, he's going to go all out to win.
I want to see Cody Fajardo continue to do what he did last night.
So do I. And I'm sure that James Franklin is going to play for Toronto. The All-American from Missouri is finally going to play football. And I think he'll put up a big game. Remember, in the offseason, they got Darrell Walker, right? They stole him from Edmonton. So that's going to hope their receiving corps is going to get better. I think the Argos are going to be a tough team.
Watch out for Jimmy Ralph, Raymond High School, Raymond Comets.
He's just down the road from you.
He's getting the start, and he's going to play that Rob Bag type of position, those slants, those in and unders, and I think he's a really good talent.
I like our producer Ryan, our in-house producer, putting up a quick poll. Did we get the Canada's Game of the Week poll wrong? 80% of you say no. Accept the results, Hillary. BC at Edmonton is Canada's game of the week.
It definitely is.
It's not close. Now, Riders at Red Blacks was number two, and a distant three was Toronto home to Hamilton on Saturday. And John, that's the first leg of the Ballard Cup, which I wasn't even familiar with until earlier on this week. The Twitter account CFL News posted a story about it. Are you aware of the Ballard Cup?
Harold Ballard dictated it, donated it
mm-hmm.
in 1978. And Al Ford and I were there at the game. I did the game. I did the play-by-play. He was a color commentator. It was a hell of a game. Larry Dick was our quarterback. And we had a 28-0 lead going in the second half. And Lancaster did a great job in the first half. Then Larry Dick, who was a hot shot from Maryland, going to be our next great quarterback, took over in the second half, and Lancaster sat in the sidelines and pouted. We lost the game 40-38. And Ron Lancaster never came back in the play with us. So it's easy to remember that one.
I could sit and listen to the history of Frenzy.
Do you want to take my spot at coffee sometime? You can.
I don't know if I want to take your spot. I can join you.
Oh, yeah,
we'll do that.
Sure.
You sure you can.
A Kaminsky coffee.
You got to pay your own coffee, though, for your own coffee. But I have a funny feeling about
Tampa. I'll pay for yours,
too. We're all fired up. We're going to go up and try to win. I think we're going to get ahead by halftime. Then he's going to crawl around that second half, probably have Thompson McLeod at quarterback by then, who's not a bad quarterback, actually.
No.
And he'll come back and might win. Another ex-Rough Rider. What's the guy's name? Matt Edwards.
Armonte Edwards.
Armonte Edwards, yeah. He's a heck of a receiver, too. So it's going to be quite a football game.
They're telling me to get you home for lunch, John. I'm going to take you to your lunch group. The old boys club is convening.
Yeah.
Am I dropping you off there?
Oh, I don't have to think about that one.
You kind of get tired of those guys from time to time.
Yeah,
right?
I get tired of them. It's all bullshit. You know what? Tommy gets like times, don't you?
Talking about Tom Shepard. And Lynch and I were driving up here today. I left Big Bird at home because I checked the forecast.
Good idea.
Just a smart thing to do. I didn't do that on Wednesday, and as I was pulling around Ring Road and on the off-ramp up to Louvander, I couldn't even see the off-ramp. It was raining that hard.
Yeah.
Oh, no top on Big Bird, my Jeep. So I threw Lynch in the SUV today, and of course I pull into your place, and what did you say?
Nice new car.
You said, where's the Jeep?
No. Have you been in the Jeep?
I've not been in the Jeep.
Oh, it's scary, boy. You take it. It's scary. Don't let them kid you.
Yeah, but John, what did I say to you? It makes you feel alive.
Yes, it certainly does make you feel. It shakes you into being alive.
Right. That's why we love Big
and
Bird.
Only two situations where you almost fall out.
I feel like he should take us for pizza.
change the subject.
Yeah, Rommel's afraid of Big
Bird. I hope, guys, let's be honest now. It's very important, you know, for us to win that game.
Absolutely it is. It's critical.
And we lose that and go 0-3. Oh, boy, I don't want to be here.
Hard to dig yourself out of that hole.
Lynch, that would qualify as an ESBG, right?
Early season big game, yeah. Early season big game. Should be a solid crowd, right?
I would hope.
I would think
so. You never know with the Rider Nation. Here, Bandit, you have a great weekend. You want to sign off to your countrymen?
It's been a lot of fun. Goodbye, Norway. I'm sorry about your lutefisk. We'll talk soon.
All right, Frenzy, I'll see you in the car. You folks, we'll see you here Monday. Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. And always listen throughout the weekend on our podcast, rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.